I want to see science serve a useful purpose to improve the standard of living for all people.
Why is anyone fighting food advance? A very small percentage of the world's population is fortunate enough to have the luxury of turning down food.
We've arranged a society based on science and technology in which nobody understands anything about science and technology.
You can't build a peaceful world on empty stomachs and human misery.
You're listening to Talking Biotech, the weekly podcast illuminating issues in agriculture and medical biotechnology. Your questions and concerns are answered using a science-based approach with the goal of driving innovation to application with communication. Now here's your host, Dr. Paul Vincelli.
Welcome to the Talking Biotech podcast, the weekly podcast where we discuss contemporary issues in science and technology with a focus on biotechnology and new innovations that can help people and the planet. I'm Paul Vincelli, sitting in for Dr. Kevin Folta, and today we're going to be talking about a research paper that was published in the journal Sustainability, and the title of that paper is Corporate Concentration and Technological Change in the Global Seed Industry. And we have with us today Dr. Sylvie Bonny from the INRA, AgriParis Tech INRA, the National Research Institute. From I'm sorry, Sylvie, I can't pronounce the town you're from, but it's I know it's about 30 kilometers, roughly, or it's west of Paris. Is that?
Yes, approximately. I am in France. Yes. In the National Institute of Agricultural Research, which is a national institute, publicly funded institute.
Wonderful. Good. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it looks like a beautiful place to be. I did a little bit of research on it so that I could imagine where you were. So thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time. So again, the title of the paper, and this is an open access paper for the listeners. The title is Corporate Concentration and Technological Change in the Global Seed Industry. And that's an issue that many people seem to have an interest in many parts of the world. How did you, before we go into your specific results, Sylvie, how did you become interested in this topic?
First, because as you just mentioned, there have been many and many papers in the media about the recent consolidation trend, particularly with the mergers of or buyout between Bayer and Monsanto, Syngenta and ChemChina, mm-hmm. and Dow and DuPont. Therefore, in the last 2 years, there have been many and many papers about this consolidation. And in addition, for many and many and many years and almost three decades, there have been many and many debates and big controversy about genetic engineering and new technologies used in plant breeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you certainly will have the attention of our listeners. In fact, when I do outreach on genetic engineering of crops, and you know, both in my state of Kentucky as well as periodically in other parts of the country or even world, and very often concerns about genetic engineering, maybe one of the top for many people is the consolidation and economic strength of the seed industry. So this is certainly a topic you've kind of carved out some good scholarship on. Well, you know, you've got several results here. People, if you're interested, it's an easy read. It's a good paper online in open access. What would be sort of, how would you describe the seed industry in terms of its economic contribution to the food system relative to other sectors of the food system?
There are two opposite views on the seed industry. The first one is, from naturally speaking, it is a very important sector because seed is the base and the foundation of the whole food chain, of course. Mm-hmm. But from an economic point of view, as it is explained in the first two graphs, figures mm-hmm. of the paper, the seed industry represents a very small part of the global and total agri-food chain, because the major stakeholders are at the end of the agri-food mm-hmm. chain. It is the big retailers, such as, particularly in the USA, Walmart and some other big retailing companies.
Actually, I'm going to do something that never occurred to me before, but I'm going to invite listeners to actually pause the podcast and get a copy of this paper so you can look at the charts that Dr. Boni is referring to. Once again, the paper's title is Corporate Concentration and Technological Change in the Global Seed Industry. And so she's been referring to Sylvia, you're referring to figures one and figures two, and they show very clearly, you know, how small a part economically of the food system globally, how small a part is the seed sector comprises. But at the same time, you say, yes, and it's a very important sector. Some people view it as very important sector, even if it's dwarfed by food distribution, the economic component of food distribution or food processing. Seed is the beginning of the food production system, and so maybe in that sense it's very important. So those are very interesting points. So so another thing that struck my attention was in your finding that in fact there's substantial economic growth expected in the seed industry. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the majority of the seed industry companies think that this is a sector with a bright prospect mm-hmm. because of population growth, and the reduction is, globally speaking, and particularly in some countries, because of the reduction in the land area or the cropland area, particularly if, in addition, you take into account the impact of climate change and the risk of that some big deltas, which are now highly cultivated, can no more be cultivated because of flooding. And in addition, and you know this because you work in this field, there is a risk of increased disease for crops. Therefore, all these aspects explain that there is a great need for novelties and improvement in the seed sector and in seeds everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So, and again, those who are following along with the copy of the paper were referring to Table 1. And in fact, you reported expected increases compound annual growth for the seed industry of anywhere from 6.8% annually to
I think the high was over 13% annually. So really it does appear to have the seed industry does appear to have a bright future. And as you explain, this is the case because of trends such as population growth, and negative trends, including the reduction in available arable land and all the impacts of climate change, and I'll add to that soil degradation. So really, for a number of reasons, I never really put it all together until I read your paper, there is, there's a lot to be, if you're a seed company, the future appears bright. So.
Yes.
But what next for you? What sort of in your paper struck you as, a significant finding as you consider the future of global seed sales?
The main aspect is the debate and the controversy about seed consolidation that is now ongoing. And because many papers in the media in general show a rather worried point of view. Mm-hmm. But when you read a few other papers, they insist on all the advantages and improvement resulting from the consolidation trend. I would like to, I tried to write a rather balanced paper because I have read many papers which were very Manichaean, either they say it is this concentration is very dangerous and okay. must be stopped.
Okay.
Or some other papers say, no, it is a very good opportunity right. to have new improvement in plant breeding and in the seed industry. I tried to write a rather balanced paper mm-hmm. yeah. in order to explain the different point of view mm-hmm. and the reason of the divide between very different point of views sure. and particularly between perhaps the USA and the European countries.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to, I thought you did a very nice job of bringing sort of that analytical approach to the topic. And I think it was table two. We'll talk about those because I think, again, you really brought in the perspectives of opposing positions. But to really highlight this concentration and consolidation of the seed sector, I'm gonna highlight this figure 7 for those again who have a copy of the paper, and for those that don't, we'll explain it. Basically, what Sylvie shows here is the percent of the global seed market that is comprised of the top 5, the 6 through the 10 companies, and then 11 through 20, and it's just a very striking graph. The top 5 companies, and tell me if I'm mistaken here, Sylvie, but what your figure shows is that from 1985 to 2015 and 2016 maybe, there is a tremendous growth in just one group here, and that is the group of the top 5 seed companies. And so they went from being 10% of the global seed market to being somewhere over 50% of the global seed market since 1985. And that's a very striking growth. So am I interpreting that correctly?
Yes, there have been in a very strong consolidation trend in the last few decades, particularly because some big crop protection companies such as Monsanto and DuPont, but also Syngenta, etc., have bought many small seed companies. Okay. And therefore, there have been very specific particular movement with the entry of these big chemical companies in the seed sectors, because previously the seed sector was a sector of rather small enterprises coming from the agricultural and purely seed oriented enterprises. But after 1990 approximately, there have been many and many mergers and acquisitions, particularly by these chemical companies which were involved in crop protection activities, such as Monsanto, DuPont, Syngenta, Dow, etc. And therefore, these companies, because of their buyouts and some other mergers, have become very important, and therefore a few seed companies now have a high market share in the global commercial seed sales. But as I this is a parenthesis, as I mentioned in the paper, the global seed market and even the global commercial seed market is not well known because it is difficult to have a right assessment. And as it is described in the paper, you can find various value for the amount of the global commercial seed market.
Yeah, so there's a paper I'm sure you know quite well. It's one of my few on this topic. It's the paper is entitled Visualizing Consolidation in the Global Seed Industry. And in that paper, and that one may be open access too, I can't remember, but that paper shows like all the companies, seed companies that the big three seed companies have purchased over a period of about 20 years, and Monsanto consuming, I don't know, it could be 30 or 40 companies shown in this figure, and Syngenta buying others, and DuPont buying others. And so, yeah, it's a very striking thing to see in this paper. And you had a figure there, figure nine, in your paper, that the one that we're discussing, where the big seven companies become the big four. And so for many of our listeners will know this, but maybe not. So for the listeners, Monsanto and Bayer, there's a buyout of Monsanto by Bayer that is going through regulatory processes and is probably near completion. So two becomes one, Monsanto and Bayer become one. Syngenta is being bought out by ChemChina, so those two become one. And DuPont and Dow are merging, and so those two become one. So the big seven, BASF is the additional company. The big seven in your figure nine then become these new mergers and buyouts become the big four. So it's very well documented in your paper. Let's take a break, and I'm very excited to talk about what it means from different people's perspective, and I know you've given that significant weight in the paper, but we'll take a short break. And so we're talking to Dr. Sylvie Bonny of INRA in France, and a research scientist. I failed to mention that before. And when we come back, we're going to continue to discuss corporate concentration and technological change in the global seed industry. Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech Podcast.
Memories. light the corners of our minds, scattered pictures of the smiles we left behind, smiles we gave to one another, or the way we were. The way we were in 2017. It was an outstanding year for the Talking Biotech podcast. The addition of Dr. Paul Vincelli, contributions from others, and more good new science than you could shake a stick at gave us 51 new episodes. Number 52 will be a special recap of 2017. If there are special guests, special moments, or other nuggets you'd like to see revisited, please let us know. We'll be happy to include them in our recap. We had the overly unoriginal idea of doing a best of segment for our final episode of 2017. Doctors Vincelli and Folta will revisit some of the many guests, the exciting highlights, and the many laughs that took this podcast from the surprising place of 5,000 downloads a month back in January to its current traffic of over 20,000. The trends are rising and the projections are rosy, as the guest slate for 2018 is already impressive. Can it be that it was all so simple then? Or that time has rewritten every line? If we had a chance to do it all again, would we? Well, yes, we will. 2018 offers such an opportunity. And with a crew of contributors and scientists more excited to share their stories, we have an opportunity to tell the wonderful stories of how a technology can help people and help a planet.
And we're back on the Talking Biotech podcast with Dr. Sylvie Bonny from INRA, Research Institute in France and west of Paris, in the most beautiful part of a very beautiful country. So thanks again for your time, Sylvie. We appreciate your expertise. So one of the points that we've discussed here offline is how much controversy there is in Europe, more than even in the United States, over this consolidation of seed industry. Maybe you could say just a little bit about that.
Yes, there is, as explained before, there is high controversy and many debates, hearings, and even in the USA or even in Europe, in many countries, there are a lot of controversy about the consolidation trends in the seed industry, and particularly because the biggest companies are not only seed companies, but in addition to seed, and usually these other activities are the biggest one of their activities and of their sales. The biggest seed companies have agrochemical segments, particularly crop protection activities. They sell pesticides, and in addition, many of them have also pharmaceutical industry and general chemistry activities. Therefore, the seed industry is very, very heterogeneous because you have, from one part, a few big companies which have many activities in chemistry, in pharmacy, in crop protection, and you have only, and you have in addition many, many, really many small or medium enterprises which sell only seeds. Therefore, in the debate about the concentration of the seed industry, we must not forget this great it's a great heterogeneity, particularly as far as the type of companies are concerned, but also the diversity of crops, the diversity of seeds, and of course the diversity of the farmer situations in the world. Therefore, the debate should not focus only on the mergers and the buyouts, therefore on the five or six major stakeholders in the seed industry, but the debate should take into account the global seed industry, which, I repeat myself, is very, very heterogeneous.
Yeah, so very heterogeneous. We've got these mergers resulting in some very, very large seed companies, but you're making the point, or companies that produce a lot of seed. They also produce chemical products. But you're making the point that the seed industry on a global level is still remains very heterogeneous. And so we've got to consider that as we go forward. So yeah, that's a good point. So I want to hear you describe something about what's outlined in Table 2, and that is opposing views about the impact of this corporate consolidation in the seed industry. And so what?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us, you know, tell listeners sort of the two sides or something about the two sides.
Yes, some stakeholders have great expectation of the about the consolidation results, that is the large seed companies can provide new seeds and new breeding techniques, which will be very useful because of the many challenges of agriculture and food in general in the next few decades. And they think that with the consolidation trend, some big company will be more able to find innovation useful for everybody or for the whole society. But on the opposing view, many stakeholders have strong concerns because they point out some big drawbacks of the concentration, such as because of decreased competition, higher seed prices, decrease in the diversity of seed supply, because usually big companies are interested to work are interested in working for big market, not for orphan seeds, which or orphan crops, which represent a small, very small part of the market, and this sector can be abandoned. Therefore, this can lead to concentration in the number of crops, in the number of, and for this reason, a loss of cultivate. We can have a loss of cultivated biodiversity. Mm-hmm. In addition, you have many issues that I only mention because they need very long developments. It is the issue of intellectual property rights and the issue of the control by the biggest company on the farm and more than farm activities because these big companies are now investing in a new segment, in new field, in new area which are becoming more and more important, that is big data or all the innovations which are now ongoing in agriculture with big data and the trend to adapt to climate change, to the consumer demand for more sustainable and more healthy products, etc. Because of all these change in the global agri-food industry, and because of the involvement of big seed company in, for example, big data, there is a real concern that they give too many advice, too much advices, too many recommendations to farmers, and that farmers become much too dependent on their recommendations, and the loss of autonomy and the dependency of farmers and food on the more lucrative markets are a real concern, and this is important to consider because all these big companies depend on their shareholders and therefore on the stock exchange market. And the financial pressure can lead these big companies to not to think perhaps to the long term or to the durability of their products, but to short term results because the financialization of the global society and of every part is now very high, and each company which is listed in the stock exchange must have each quarter good results. Mm-hmm. If it is not the case, the majority of the shareholders will sell the shares and put them on Amazon or Apple or another or Google. therefore, this aspect is very important to consider because usually in agriculture, it is difficult to be very rich because the agricultural products usually are not sold at a good price, frequently because of the high competition, the agricultural prices are rather low. Therefore, farmers cannot afford expensive seeds. Therefore, this global economic aspect should be taken into account. I mean, people cannot only see the four or five major stakeholders in the seed industry. They must consider that the seed industry is embedded in the global economic system where there are high pressure nowadays because of financialization to have good result at each quarter, and this is not always the best way for the durability mm-hmm. of the new product. I think that many papers on this domain are too focused on the four major actors or on the consolidation and don't take sufficiently into account the whole economic system, because seed companies are really deeply embedded in this whole economic and financial system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you've given this a lot of thought, and in fact, you brought up quite a few points, particularly those that have objections, representing those that have objections, and some are not even really in the table. So I encourage you people to listeners to kind of make a list of what Sylvia has said, you know, like dependency, de-skilling, it's sometimes called de-skilling, you know, is an issue to consider, and short-term profits. I mean, that's, companies are obliged to consider the profits of their shareholders. That's just the legal requirement for companies. So, quite a thoughtful list. And Sylvia, what I see in this, sort of the two opposing perspectives that you've outlined and described, both in the paper and here today. Really, all of them, all of these perspectives are valid. I mean, to me, you know, in other words, I can agree with all the advantages of the seed, you know, involving large seed companies in seed production using the most advanced techniques of genetics. And then I can see all the, and accept all of the criticisms that those, some of whom are my friends who raise objections. So I sometimes think that this debate with respect to the role of corporations in the seed industry is maybe as much a surrogate for visions of different visions of farming systems. You know, and so if I favor a large scale farming system and its particular advantages, then I'm going to be in favor of GMOs. And if I am more favor the small scale, highly diversified, high labor input kinds of farming systems, then I may object to the GMOs because they can often be derived, not always, but certainly often can be derived from large companies. So I think it sometimes represents a you know, different farming systems in people's minds.
The debate about seed concentration and the consolidation of the biggest companies is high because of there is a rather Manichaean views about two opposing views for the prospects of agriculture. Some think that high-tech agriculture with big data, biotech, etc. Mm-hmm. is the future of agriculture because it can provide some answer to the big issues of the next decades, mm-hmm. Such as population growth and a decrease in land, in cultivated land area per capita. Mm-hmm. But many people don't have an opposite view on this issue, particularly because they think that farmer knowledge and farmers' activities must be taken into account, and particularly because sometimes some new technologies are not even if they claim to be very adapted or very suited to each condition, they are not really to each soil condition, they are not really adapted to all economic conditions, and the majority of farmers are in rather poor country, and the main aspect, the main goal is not to increase food production globally, but food production for the people who have poor revenue, because malnutrition or hunger are comes usually from poverty or from worse or some conflict in some area. Therefore, it is not the global need is not to produce more, globally speaking, but more for the people who have rather low resources. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the main aspect is to increase the possibility for poor farmers or poor people to buy food, and for poor farmers to produce more, and the risk is that they will not be able to afford GM crops or GM seed or improved varieties, because usually they are more expensive. Therefore, there is a risk that the high-tech agriculture will be too geared towards rich farmers or more rich countries, and will not take into account the requirements of the poor farmers. Therefore, there is a movement and a kind of orientation calling for more peasant agroecology, which take into account the agricultural condition, the farm, the farmer economic situation, and in addition, and this is of course a very, very important issue, the kind of food that is used, because there are in this kind of debate about the future of agriculture, there are many debates about the food consumption, food patterns, because too industrialized food consumption is not very good, and because of the addition of fat, sugar, or salt. And for this reason, there is a very big debate, particularly in Europe, about several options and that can be taken not only by agriculture, but by the general agri-food chain, and particularly the global agri-food, the whole agri-food system. The debate is not only about the kind of agriculture, it is also about the kind of food and the kind of way all the agri-food chain is organized. Mm-hmm. That is a big issue.
Yeah. So, and I think, I think that's probably, you've identified what I find most distressing about this, sort of the great divide, you know, that exists over genetic engineering in crops is really, there, it's certainly possible to use genetic engineering for purposes that directly address the needs of smallholder farmers. And, you know, there are applications of genetic engineering that are, you know, that are taking place in being researched and developed in developing countries, in African countries. Uganda is a premier example, but there are others. And BT, Brinjal in Bangladesh and others. I don't know, maybe we shouldn't be offering personal opinions on such a complex topic, but I do find it important to highlight that it isn't just a polar opposite corporate farming versus small scale agroecological farming. Genetic engineering can be used by developing countries to address agroecological challenges, and I see it as not so much a black and white issue, but just a series of tools that can be useful in developing countries as well as for farming systems in developed countries. So, if listeners want to find out more about your research, Sylvie, where would they go? Should we put a website on the podcast?
In the paper, there are many literature references, mm-hmm. and for example, some of my papers about genetic engineering, and for example, one which is very easy to read is about high-tech agriculture or agroecology for agriculture tomorrow. It is a very short paper,
wow.
Very easy to read. Therefore, I think that with all the bibliographic references, people can have rather good idea about all the debate. And in addition, in the USA, in Europe, there are many and many papers in the media about concentration in the seed industry, mm-hmm. but yeah. also about the kind of agriculture and of food pattern and agri-food chain for tomorrow. Because for example, in the USA, I have noticed that farmer markets and local produced food mm-hmm. have grown in the last few years in terms of percentage. I mean, local production for some food products have now their part, even if it is rather small, in the USA. Not only the buying, the fact to buy food in big supermarkets.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Sylvie. And we've been talking to Sylvie Bonny from INRA in France. And the title of the paper, once again, that is Open Access, is Corporate Concentration and Technological Change in the Global Seed Industry. And Sylvie, it's been a pleasure to interview you and hear your about your important work. And I'm going to go and find that paper you just described in the references. That's sounds like a good one. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Follow us on Twitter @ Talking Biotech. Write a review on iTunes and tell a friend to listen, as your support allows us to deliver more about exciting science to more people. I'm Paul Vincelli, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Please send your suggestions for guests, comments, or questions to talkingbiotech@gmail.com. Please write a review on iTunes and recommend this podcast to a friend. More downloads and reviews raise the visibility of this podcast and help us reach a wider audience with science.